I don't know if the song is familiar, but if you saw the title of the sermon this morning, perhaps you might have remembered a song from your childhood, one that readily comes to mind as I look at this 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. But it's a word, it's a song that begins, and perhaps it's a bit moralistic, the song, but I think it's intended for Christians to teach their children the things that they must be careful of. And the song goes like this: "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." And then it goes through a whole list. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little heart, who you trust. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. And then each time, the refrain, "For the Father up above is looking down in love." We get the point of the song, don't we? And it is a point in which we are to be careful as those who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. We are to be careful what we set our eyes upon, and what we listen to, and who we trust, and what we think, as well as what we do. And that's just as important in childhood and adulthood, it's just as important in the 21st century as it was in Jeremiah's time. In our text this morning, Jeremiah is disturbed. It's more than an emotional response to a tragic problem. He's mentally very troubled. He's troubled by the reality of a nation that not only is not listening, but they're listening to the wrong voices. Voices of those whom they should be able to trust, but they simply cannot. It's not the voice of the king. He's already addressed that. But here, the voices of the religious leaders, the prophets and the priests. The leaders, we might say, of the church. Those who ought to be upright and beyond reproach. Those who ought to be the ones who are an example to those to whom they are speaking. But here, he's calling out the prophets and the priests, just as he's called out the kings. Now he's calling out the prophets and the priests, because these who should be expected to behave in a right way and who should be expected to deliver accurately and carefully the message of God, who should be trusted, are not worthy of being trusted. And so Jeremiah begins with a great lament here in verse 9 as he cries out, "My heart is broken within me. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man." He uses imagery that is strange, perhaps, to describe the way in which he feels. He's brokenhearted, perhaps sorrowful here, but it's more than sorrowful. He's like a drunk man. Now, it's interesting in Scripture, because there's often a comparison between drunkenness and sobriety. As we come to the New Testament, over and over, we're instructed in these last days to be people who are sober-minded. And so, as Jeremiah looks at the scene before him and speaks as though he's a drunken man, he's speaking about the fact that the scene which is before his eyes is so irrational that he can't wrap his mind around it. That these religious leaders that that are there are the ones who are to be trusted, and yet they are full of all sorts of wickedness and evil. He can't seem to understand. The land, he says, is full of adulterers, their course is evil, and their might is not right. They are evil in every way, both with regard to their morality, but also with regard to the exercise of their power. He's not speaking here, again, of the politicians, but of the religious authorities. And you might say that as you look at the scene that is before Jeremiah, as it is in the state, so it is in the church. This is what's causing such anguish. This is why his heart is burdened. This is why he stands in a state of shock. And it's at this point that the Lord speaks. Now, I'm sure that we've spoken about this before, but it bears repeating. We see here that the Lord uses his covenant name to speak to the prophets and priests. It is the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh. It is Yahweh who is speaking, the Lord of the covenant who is speaking and who is addressing the prophets and the priests. This is the name that he gave to himself, to Moses, when Moses cried unto him, asking for relief from the burdens of Egypt. And the Lord showed him and gave him his name and said that he would redeem him with outstretched arms and with great judgments. And so what is significant here is that this is the name that is used. This is the name that is used of the Lord here as he calls out. Verse 9, Jeremiah calls on the name of Yahweh. He's overcome like his wine because of the Lord. And then we see the Lord declaring to the prophet and priest, beginning in verse 11, we see the Lord coming against the prophets and the priests. But what does he come against them for? What is the accusation? What is the allegation? It is that their conduct is an abomination. Notice the Lord cries out against their conduct. Not only is there evil in the land, but there's evil in the house of the Lord. There's evil among the religious leaders. They are conducting their evil and wicked deeds in the house of the Lord. And look at the extent of their evil in verse 14. They commit adultery. They walk in lies. They strengthen the hand of evildoers so that no one turns from his evil. All of them have become like Sodom to me and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. If you haven't read about the wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah recently, go back sometime and read of God's severe judgment that comes against Sodom and Gomorrah for their wicked acts. And the Lord is calling out the prophets and the priests here. And he's saying to the prophets and the priests, you are just as bad, if not worse, than Sodom and Gomorrah. You've become like them to me in the ways in which you have promoted immorality, in the way in which you have promoted people to continue in their evil deeds. And you have not told them to repent and to turn from their wicked ways. They ought to be condemning evil, but what are they doing instead? They're condoning it. And not only condoning it, they're promoting it. They're cheering on the evil. And so their conduct, the Lord says, is an abomination. But notice, he compares the prophets and the priests of Judah to the prophets and priests of the north. Now keep in mind the northern 10 tribes have already gone into exile. The Assyrians have taken control. The 10 tribes have come under God's judgment. And what was the sin of the prophets of the north? Well, they had prophesied by Baal, a sin that is marked out for us. We see the sin of the prophets in Deuteronomy chapter 13, and we're reminded there that these prophets who lead into false worship and worship of idols are deserving of death. But notice that the sin of the prophets of Judah is worse than the sin of the prophets who led a people astray to Baal. And why is their sin worse? But because they're carrying out their debauchery, they're promoting their evil, and they're proclaiming that the word that they have is not a word from Baal, but a word from Yahweh, from the Lord Himself, who entered into a covenant with them and treats violators with great severity. And so the Lord comes against the people of Judah, the prophets and the priests, and He condemns them. Notice the condemnation, verse 12, "Therefore their ways shall be to them like slippery paths in the darkness, into which they shall be driven and fall." There's no hope. They're going down a path that is a slippery slope, and they are going to fall into it, and they are going to bring disaster upon themselves. The Lord is coming in judgment. And then again in verse 15, He's going to give them bitter food and poisoned water to drink. I couldn't help but think here of the time in which the people of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, were looking to the Lord and crying out to the Lord, thinking that the Lord was going to forsake them, that they were going to die there in the wilderness, wanting food and wanting nourishment and wanting water, and the Lord provided for them there in the wilderness. Now the Lord's going to send to His prophets and priests, to those who should be proclaiming the word, He's going to send and give them bitter food and poison to drink, because they have forsaken the Lord of the covenant. They who should be the examples of uprightness and godliness are corrupt in their conduct, claiming to be committed to the Lord of the covenant, and it is the Lord of the covenant who now condemns them. But it's not just their conduct, it's their message as well. Judah is told not to listen to the prophets and the priests any longer. And why? Because they give vain hope. Look at verse 16. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak of their visions of their own mind, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, 'It shall be well with you.' And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own way, they say, 'No disaster shall come upon you.'" False hopes, vain hopes. All of life is going to be good. You don't need to listen to the negative voice of Jeremiah. That's just far too negative. What you need to listen to is the positive. Nothing is going to befall you. Nothing is going to happen to you. And where are they getting this message? We're told here they're getting it not from the Lord, but from their own minds. And we know, don't we, as Jeremiah has already told us in chapter 17, verse 9, that our minds are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so here the prophets are prophesying in the name of Yahweh. They're claiming that they have dreams, and the problem is not, as One commentator rightly noted, it's not the mode of their prophetic reception. It's not the fact that they have dreams, for dreams are often used by God, but with its source. The source of these dreams are their own mind. They're listening to their own heads. They're not concerned about the word of the Lord. They're promoting lies. They've not stood in the counsel of the Lord, verse 18. They're not concerned with what God says at all. What they're concerned to do is promote their own message. And we're told here that the Lord didn't send them. They went on their own way. And the word that they carried to the people was their own word, not the word of God. What dangerous territory. Claiming to be the Lord's ambassadors. And the problem is that they've gone rogue. It's not the word of the Lord they're proclaiming. For if they had proclaimed the word of the Lord, they would, instead of strengthening the people of Judah to do evil, they would persuade them to repent of their sin and to walk away from it. Well, the Lord asks three questions, beginning at verse 23. And he says, am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Obviously, these prophets and priests are not only claiming that they have the word of the Lord, that they are speaking to the people, but because of them, their claim is that the Lord is coming near to us. And the Lord answers that question or that statement. He says, am I a God at hand and not a God who is far away? You see, the prophets and the priests claim to have the word of God, but the word of God is far away from their lips. And then in verse 24, can a man hide himself in the secret places that I cannot find him? Prophets and priests think, oh, they can hide from the Lord. They can get away from the Lord's presence. They can get away with their lifestyle, and they can get away with declaring a message that is their own, and somehow the Lord is not going to see them. They can hide from His view. That's just not going to happen. The Lord says, do I not fill heaven and earth? They, the prophets and the priests, are coming under God's judgment. He's going to send a tempest. Look at verse 19. Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. He's going to send his anger and his wrath against a godless prophecy and the priests who walk in their own way. And not only a tempest, it says that he will not stop until he has fulfilled the intents of his heart, until he brings a thorough and complete end to the judgment of those who are held to a higher standard. We have to keep that in mind, don't we? James says, not many of you should become teachers. And why? Do you remember that from James? He says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. The prophets and the priests are being judged with greater strictness. And the final thing that we find here is that the prophets are themselves the burden of the Lord. Now, you might ask the question at this point in this last section of Jeremiah chapter 23, you might ask the question rightly, what in the world is the burden of the Lord? I mean, normally a burden is something to be carried, right? It is a weight, often used in the scripture of putting a weight perhaps on an animal, on a donkey, and the donkey carrying that weight around. But here many think that it refers not to the weight, but to an oracle or a message. And you will note that what distinguishes the burden or the message of these false prophets, the message that they bring, is that they have forgotten God. If it were God's message, if it were God's burden, if it was His oracle, not only would they not have forgotten God, but He would have been at the center of it. And not only have they forgotten Him, but they have forgotten the fact that His word is to be compared here to straw, or to the nourishing of wheat rather than straw. It's fruitful and it's nourishing, and the dreams of the prophets are the very opposite. They're not promoting God, and they're not giving that which nourishes the soul. And so three times the Lord says He's against the prophets. In verses 31 through 33, He said, "I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, declares Yahweh, who use their tongues and declares the Lord." Well, it seems like it's a double statement. No, what they're saying is, as they speak, they're saying that their words are the word of the Lord, but it's not. He goes on in verse 32, "Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness, when I did not send them or charge them, so they do not profit the people at all, declares the Lord." There is no profit to be had by listening to these prophets. The Lord is against them. And what are they asking? They're asking the question, what is the burden of the Lord? What is the oracle of the Lord? What is the message of the Lord? And the Lord is saying, you are to the prophets and priests. That is, you are going to be the living message of my judgment for your promoting of your own message and your refusal to proclaim my word. You claim, he says to the prophets and priests, you claim to have the message from the Lord, but you do not, and you will become the message of God's judgment to a nation that has forsaken and forgotten me. And you should be the ones calling out to this people to repent. And the ones who have spearheaded all sorts of evil and will be an example of what happens when a people forsake the Lord. Friends, you know, the message of the prophets and the priests is rather alluring. It's alluring because they're telling people what they want to hear. They want to hear that everything's going to be well. They want to hear that there is no judgment to come. They want to hear that everything is going to be peaceful and prosperous and they're going to do fine. Oh, and have times changed? Or do we not have many in our own time who want to hear the same message? We're warned by Paul as he speaks to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "For the time will come when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths." What is the message of the Lord through Jeremiah to the people of Judah, to the prophets and the priests, to the kings, and to the people of the land? It is this, that judgment is to come, and they need to repent. And what do the people want to hear, and what voice are they listening to? They're listening to the voices that are saying all is going to be fine, and judgment is far from the house. It's bad enough that the prophets in Samaria led the people to Baal worship. It's even worse for those who claim to know the living God, who claim to speak for Him to lead a people astray. And what is even worse? What is even worse in our own time is that we have the Word of God, the complete, finished, and final Word in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the author to Hebrews says? At various times, God's revealed Himself through the prophets, but in these last days, He's revealed Himself through His Son. And if God's judgment upon the prophets and the priests of Judah would be great, how much greater the judgment in our own time for those who refuse to proclaim God's word, who promote their own words of peace and prosperity in denying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need to be careful. The voice that we listen to. Oh, that we need to be careful who we trust. Oh, that we need to be careful what we think. And what is the test of true prophecy versus false prophecy? We test the prophet against the Word of God. God has spoken in His Word. His revelation is complete. We're told in His Word that He's going to judge the world in righteousness. What is the message? The message of the Word of God is that judgment is going to come, and only those who are found in Jesus Christ by faith will know the glories of heaven. And those who deny Christ and who walk in their own ways, who live according to their own evil deeds, will come under the eternal and everlasting judgment of God. If God's judgment in the time of Jeremiah was great, how much greater now that we have the full revelation in Jesus Christ? How despicable it is in our own nation that there are those who stand in pulpits, in church buildings across our land, who promote every form of evil, both in their conduct and in their message, and who say that God is a God of love who will not bring down these things upon us. Friends, God is a God of love. And because He loves righteousness and judgment, because He is holy and right in all His ways, He has appointed a day when He will judge the world in righteousness. And I don't know about you, but as I look around in our world, in our nation, I see much of the false gospel around us. Not only in the conduct of those who are at the helm, but also in the message that they bring forth, a message that is not accurate according to God's word. Much in the church, broadly speaking, which is not a church at all if it's not proclaiming Jesus Christ in the flesh. If it's not proclaiming that there is salvation in no other name under heaven but in Jesus Christ. And if it's not turning people from their sin and seeking to have them, persuade them to repent of their sin and to turn to Christ. Those who refuse to obey the word of the Lord, who preach their own message, do so to their own peril. And so what is our task? Do not listen to them. Tune them out. Listen to those who preach and proclaim and declare the Lord Jesus Christ as the way and the truth and the life. Know that the nourishment for our souls and the fruit that will be born in our life will come only as we are submitted to God's word. Turn away from sin. Turn to Christ and trust him fully for his grace. Oh, be careful. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little heart, whom you trust. And be careful, little mind, what you think. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would grant to us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him solely, and that we would not listen to the voices of those around who are not declaring your word, but that we would hear those who proclaim clearly and loudly that your judgment against sin is coming, and that we cannot stand unless we stand in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom alone is our life. Bless us in him, we pray. Amen.